challenging Muslims. How can we effectively evangelize and challenge Muslims? These are 18 battle-tested, field-tested questions that I've used in practice with Muslims in mosques and so on and on the streets that you could find. Number one, the Lord Jesus warned us to beware of false prophets. What can you say to convince me that Muhammad is a true prophet of God? Well, the answer you tend to get is the Quran says he is. But didn't Muhammad write the Quran? And so the next question would be, the Bible warns us not to add or take away from his revealed word. What can you tell us to convince us that the Quran is true? The Quran says the Bible is true. The Quran says the Injil of Jesus is true, the Zabur of David, and the Torah of Moses. The Bible is true. How can I know that the Quran is true? Because remember, the Bible ends in Revelation 22 saying, do not add to this word. They will say Muhammad says it is, which brings us back to the first question. And how do we know Muhammad is a prophet of God? Well, the Quran says he is. And how do I know the Quran is the word of God? Muhammad says he is, which is circular reasoning. By the way, one time I asked Ahmadidat, how can I know that Muhammad is a true prophet of God? And this sounds ridiculous, but his answer was, he had a gap between his front teeth and he had a mole on his back. Dermatology and orthodontic treatment, this proves he's a prophet of God. It sounds bizarre, but that is what I was once told. Third question. How do you pray? Well, they love to tell you how they wash their hands and their feet and how they wash their face and their nostrils and ears and all this. And so, okay, it's good to clean your body before you pray. But how do you clean your heart? And this question may stump them because many Muslims are very much obsessed on the outward about how to clean themselves before prayer. But how do you clean your heart and your mind? Fourth question. Our Lord Jesus warned us not to use vain repetition when we pray. So how do you maintain your sincerity and your devotion while repeating the same words 50 times a day, every day of the year? Indeed. Fifth question. Why are Muslims required to dress, eat, and speak like 7th century Arabians? Isn't it cultural imperialism to require everyone to speak Arabic? You know, there was a time when the Catholic Church said everything had to be in Latin. Latin Bible, Latin prayers, Latin hymns. We had a Reformation to enable us to pray and read in every language. Sixth question. Why do Muslims all bow down to the Kaaba in Mecca? So, it starts this way. I notice you all pray in the same direction when you pray. Yes, we do. So you all pray north. Yes, we pray north. So if you are in Europe, do you pray north? No, no, no. If you're in Europe, you're praying south. Oh. In America, do you pray south? No, if you're in America, you're praying east. Oh, and if you're in Japan, do you pray east? No, if you're in Japan, you're praying west. But I thought you were praying in the same direction. We do. We're praying towards Mecca. Oh, the slave market in Saudi Arabia. Okay, but I believe you must all go on a Hajj to Mecca. So when you're in Mecca, which direction do you pray? We pray towards the Kaaba. What's the Kaaba? Well, it's a big black box, which they believe Abraham built. Is there anything in the Kaaba? Well, once there used to be lots of idols, but the Muslims got rid of those idols. But they left one, a piece of the moon. It's a meteorite. They believe it's a piece of the moon. So there's a big black rock at the Kaaba. So all the Muslims in the world are bowing down to a rock in a box in Mecca. Isn't that idolatry to bow down to a graven image? No, they will disagree, but you've made a point. Seventh question. What does the Quran teach about marriage? Is polygamy allowed? Well, of course. What about divorce? Well, for the man, easy. Can a woman divorce her husband? Don't ask stupid questions. Who has custody of the children in the event of divorce? Well, a man, of course. Divorce in Islam is easy. You just say, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. I mean, that's it. A few seconds, done. No paperwork, no legal requirements, no protection for the woman. She doesn't even need to be supported. Here you can see women dressed in the burqa, the hijab. These men can have four wives. Sometimes you've heard about a man who's had 100 and something wives, or he's had 1,000 wives in his life, but he's never been a bad Muslim. Indonesia, Malaysia, place like that, Saudi Arabia, because they only had 4 at a time. There are many consistent reports, which are disturbing and shocking, of human rights abuses and persecution of Christians in Muslim countries like Pakistan and Sudan. What does the Quran teach about how Muslims should behave to Christians? Now, they will tell you, in Surah 2 it says, dispute not to the people of the books. There is no compulsion in Islam. Yes, but those are abrogated verses, are they not? Because it's dishonest to quote surahs that they know is abrogated. It doesn't apply anymore. But for public relations, they will engage in deception. Yes, there was a time when Muhammad taught, dispute not to the people of the book. When he taught, there's no compulsion in Islam. But that's when he was a single prophet, a bold, courageous prophet, it would seem, in Mecca, speaking against polytheism, speaking against idolatry. And he was brave, and he was only married to one wife, Khadija. But when Khadija died, and when he moved from Mecca to Medina, and he became a political power, and he had an army, everything changed. Now he had many wives, including Aisha, the six-year-old, and he started to get these jihad visions. And so there's two Qurans and there's two Muhammads, the pre-Medina and the post-Medina. Big difference. So, in fact, while there's one surah they can quote, dispute not to the people of the book. There's others that say, you're not to have Christians as friends, force them to pay jizya, extra taxes, humiliate them, crucify them, cut off their hands and feet from opposite sides, kill them, behead them, and so on. So they don't want to tell you that, so they'll just engage in some deception, say, dispute not to the people of the book. There's no compulsion in Islam. And so you'll find there's a lot of public relations going on in Western countries, but that's not what they're teaching in Saudi Arabia. Christians are being persecuted in Muslim countries, like in Egypt. Blowing up churches in Egypt, killing Christians in Iraq and Syria. These are some of the pictures of martyrs who were murdered by the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. St. Mark's Cathedral in Cairo. One of many, many funerals for Christians murdered by Muslims. This is a regular occurrence. Church often comes under fire, under siege. Christians are attacked, their vehicles burned, Bible study shop burned. They've destroyed so many churches, missions, and homes in Egypt. Just talking about Egypt here alone. And in some cases, churches that have stood for 1,000 years destroyed by Muslim mobs in recent years. This happened in 2013 during the so-called Arab Spring. Imagine, beautiful church that stood for hundreds of years destroyed, praying in the ruins of their church. Friends of mine in Egypt sent me this. They may destroy our churches, but they can never destroy our faith. Stop the terror and bloodshed of Egyptian Christians. End Christian persecution in Egypt. Stop the Christian genocide in Egypt. Stop the killing of innocent Christians in Egypt now. We need to be praying for our Egyptian friends. Their church has been there for 2,000 years, established by St. Mark himself. And they are under attack. The Egyptian Christians, the Copts, are now only 12% of the population of their country. They've been colonized by the Arabs. Arabic is the language of Arabia. Egypt's language is Coptic. The Coptics are now a minority in their own country, oppressed minority, as the Arab invaders, oppressors, exploiters, persecutors have taken over. Ninth question. According to the United Nations Commission on Human Rights and numerous anti-slavery societies, slavery still exists in some Muslim countries. The only place in the world you'll still find slavery today is in Muslim countries, like Mauritania, Saudi Arabia, and Sudan. What does the Quran teach about slavery? Well, nothing bad. It's all positive and good. Muhammad practiced slavery and all the rest. Slavery has always been part of Islam, Islam has been involved in slavery for 1,400 years and they continue to be involved in slavery to this day. The claim that there's no racism in Islam, we all want, is a blatant lie. From the very inception of Islam, for its entire history, Muslims have made up the largest numbers of slave traders and have engaged in the greatest slave trading campaigns in history. Even today, slavery continues in many parts of the Muslim world. Just about the only place in the world today where you'll still find slavery practiced is in the Muslim world. Menda Nazir is a Nuba. She's a Sudanese from the Nuba Mountains. She was enslaved when she was just a teenager, taken to Khartoum, and then later her master took her to London. He was to work in the Sudanese embassy in London, and he had the audacity to take his slave from the Nuba Mountains to London. Well, she knew enough to know that slavery is illegal in England. She escaped and sought political asylum and wrote a book, Slave, My True Story, published in 2003. Still happening today. Muhammad was a slave owner and he was a slave trader. Throughout the Hadith, black people referred to as slaves. In fact, in Arabic language, it's impossible to distinguish between a black person and a slave. If you're an Arabic Christian, the word in Arabic for a slave is a black man. Ibid. Same thing. The same word. In the Hadith, Muhammad is quoted as referring to black people as raisin heads. Muhammad was a serious racist. Several years ago, when I was having a debate with Ahmad Didat in the Islamic Propagation Center International Durban, Ahmad Didat tried to change the subject to get out of a sticky corner he had painted himself in by some theological gymnastics. Kafirs! Didat shouted. That's what the white Christians call the black people when they came to South Africa. Kafirs! That's what the whites call the black people. Kafirs! And he carried on screaming like this. He's obviously trying to inject some racial animosity in this mixed group which was listening to the debate. So I asked him the question, but Mr. Didat, isn't kafir an Arabic word from the Quran? Isn't kafir the Arabic word for infidel or unbeliever? Wasn't it the Arabic slave traders who gave the people of Africa the term kafirs? Ahmad Didat promptly changed the subject, never answered the question, never revisited the issue. Typical. I mean, this is the thing. They make a big thing about something which, in fact, Islam invented. 10th question. The National Islamic Front government in Sudan has declared holy war, jihad, against the black Christians in the Nuba Mountains of South Sudan, killing many hundreds of thousands of Christians. What does the Quran teach about jihad? There's 109 passages in the Quran, surahs, that tackle jihad. 11th question. In Islam, how is atonement made for our sins? How can one be forgiven? I asked this question in a debate with Ahmad Didat in Durban. His answer? His mouth opened, no words came out. He shrugged his shoulders, his hands came up. 3 times. That was the answer of Ahmad Didat, the most eloquent Muslim debater and evangelist and most prolific author in Islamic history. How can your sins be forgiven? Who knows? No answer. 12th question. How can you as a Muslim know for sure if you will go to heaven or not? If God was to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you answer? Now, Ahmad Didat was at the point of wanting to answer, but he couldn't. You know why? There's only one way a Muslim can be absolutely sure he's going to paradise. You know how it is? He must die in jihad killing infidels. If he dies killing kafirs, Jews, Christians, go straight to paradise. According to the Quran, that is. According to the Quran, the only way a Muslim can be absolutely sure he's going to paradise is if he dies in jihad. But he couldn't say that in front of the TV cameras in a debate. So he is about to say something, but he couldn't say it. 13. Does Islam recognize the rights of other religions to exist and operate freely in Muslim countries? No, they don't. In Saudi Arabia, there's not one church, not one missionary allowed. In fact, you see Muslims in England, in London, would behead those who insult Islam. Freedom, go to hell. That's eloquent. Can't you just feel the tolerance? Isn't it wonderful that Islam's a peaceful and tolerant religion? Imagine if they were violent. Churches are being attacked. In Syria, Christian brothers and sisters are facing Islamic terrorism at the hands of ISIS terrorists. All over the Muslim world, you see violence. Here in Syria, the destruction of churches, murder of missionaries in Iraq. There's genocide being perpetrated against Christians in Iraq. Do you know, in Iraq, it wasn't that long ago that 1 in 6 Iraqis was a Christian. Even back in 2003, when the Americans invaded Iraq, there were 1.2 million Christians in Iraq. Today, 1.3 million. Today, there's not even 200,000 Christians left in Iraq. It's a genocide. 14. If Muslims became the majority in our country, would Sharia law replace our present laws and constitution? Yes, it would. And under Sharia law, an infidel, like you and I, cannot have equal standing with a Muslim. Muslim's got to be in charge, and your testimony's invalid against the Muslims in court. And a woman's testimony's invalid against a man's, and so on. Do you want Sharia law? Women can be whipped in public? Or how about this? This homeless kid in Iran stole a loaf of bread because he's starving. And so they put his hand on the ground on a gravel road, you can see. And here the man is speaking. And then this boy's hand, see, the adult's hand holding his arm there as the car drives over his hand. This is Islam. Sharia law allows a husband to throw acid at his wife. There have been 150 cases in 22 states in America where federal and state judges ruled that using Sharia law instead of the Constitution in the United States is acceptable. This is what we're fighting against. In Somalia, in 1 year, 12 converts to Christ were buried and stoned to death. And the Muslims posted it on social media. Notice how they're covering their faces. They can't be identified. But stoning someone to death while he's buried up to his waist high. In Iran, homosexuals get hung. So when they speak about gay guys hanging out, this is what gay guys hanging out looks like in Iran. No freedom of religion, no freedom of speech, no freedom of thought, no freedom of the press, no equality of people, no equal rights for women under Islam. Under Sharia law, you can have polygamy, necrophilia, pedophilia, sex slaves, cannibalism, bestiality, rape of non-Muslims. You can murder apostates. You can marry children. That's Sharia law. A law that punishes any and all people under its control if they're not Muslims. It's a law that subjects women to torture, disfigurement, rape, slavery, genital mutilation, for example. It's a law that calls for the murder of all who disagree with Islamic ideology. It's a law without regard to the value or sanctity of life. It's a law of tyranny. It's a cult that worships the gods of terror and death. It comes from hell. Sharia law is not compatible with our bills of rights or constitutions. 15th question. If Islam is a religion of tolerance, why do no Muslim countries allow freedom of religion? In Saudi Arabia, no churches or synagogues are allowed and no citizens are allowed to be Christians. Why is that? It's a land of Muhammad. Okay. So why should we allow Muslim mosques to be built in Christian countries? No, but you've got to allow freedom of religion. But you don't allow freedom of religion. Behead those who insult Islam. Should we behead people who say that Jesus is only a prophet, not the Son of God? Should we behead people who call us kafirs? Should we behead people who are preaching Islam and Sharia law? Of course not. We believe in religious freedom. But they don't. Massacre those who insult Islam. Behead those who insult Islam. Exterminate those who insult Islam. Death to all Jews. Now I'm thinking he needs some teaching in spelling and phonics. I don't think he's against fruit juice. Death to all Jews. Oh, maybe that's death to all Jews. Yes, Jews, yeah, Jews. The Jews. 16th question. How can Muhammad be called a prophet of peace when he engaged in 47 battles and raids on caravans in his lifetime? There's no Old Testament biblical prophet that did this. Did Isaiah or Jeremiah or Malachi? They didn't engage in military campaigns murdering people. Why did Muhammad? In Saudi Arabia, the Saudi Arabian government has funded the building of mosques in Christian lands. Why is it that no church or synagogue is allowed in Saudi Arabia? And so these here are London Mosque, Paris Mosque, Berlin Mosque. I've actually seen this one. And this one is in Rome. 18th question. Surely if the Saudi Arabians have the right to distribute millions of Qurans and finance thousands of mosques and Muslim missionaries in Western countries, surely Christians should be allowed to do the same in Saudi Arabia. So, these are 18 field-tested questions that I've used for Muslim evangelism. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust out laborers into his harvest field. The desert tribes will bow before Christ and his enemies will lick the dust. All kings will bow down to him and all nations will serve him. All nations will come and worship before you. The kingdoms of the world have become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. More Than Dreams is a highly recommended resource for Muslim evangelism. Remember, you can download it off the internet. My book, Faith Under Fire in Sudan, has gone through 3 editions. It speaks of what we've learned about the resilient Christians in Sudan who have been standing for Christ against Islam for 14 centuries. There are 3 films on Sudan. Some of you second years would have seen some of these. I'll leave the videos here. We've also got the disc in the library. And you're all welcome to download it off our web and have it as copies. I think we've also given some digital libraries that have got links to this on there. The book I've written on this, Slavery, Terrorism, Islam, it's gone through 3 editions. It's 3 times larger than the original. When I produced this book back in 2005 originally, I got a death threat fatwa for writing this history book on Islam and slavery and terrorism. Islam is peaceful and tolerant, and they'll kill anyone who says otherwise. So this is one other book that's in the library. These are the films on Sudan that we helped make. We took the film crews in. Islam Rising is also worth seeing in the evenings. It's in a 4-part series, about 35 minutes each, looking at Dawah, ideology, Sharia and Jihad, the sword of terrorism and the mosque. And it's got testimonies from converted Muslims who used to be terrorists and so on. Well worth seeing if you want to understand Islam, and something you can use to educate your congregation, showing them that they understand Islam quite well. We need to, this is another post you can download off the web, but we need to pray for the Muslim world. All of these are in the Great Commission manual. You'll see that notes are made available. Do be sure you know them for the exam tomorrow. On our website, you can go onto frontlinemissionsa.org and find all these articles, links on the video gallery, lectures and audio galleries and so on. So we will make available at different times our newsletters we'll send here. You can also receive regular updates by radio podcast from the front line every Tuesday night we upload it, and it's available on our gallery. If you go onto social media, you can see the Frontline Fellowship pages where we often have links to many of these. There's also a page we've set up called Muslim Evangelism. Just that, Muslim evangelism. We put lots of links, and that will help people on social media with Muslim evangelism.